אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
We are joined now by Shane Ziatnik from the Australian Jewish News. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Amit.
Another busy week for our Jewish community. Take us through the headlines.
Sure, there's been a lot of activity in Melbourne and Sydney in the last week. As the community was welcoming Shabbat the previous Friday evening, peace was shattered when a mob of over 100 pro-Palestinian protesters descended on Caulfield South Princess Park in Melbourne, bringing fear, hate, and violence to the heart of the Jewish community. Muslim members of the group conducted prayers, chanted Allahu Akbar and From the River to the Sea, Palestine Will Be Free, while some shouted derogatory anti-Semitic and homophobic slurs. Meanwhile, 150 congregants of nearby Central Shul opposite the park were forced to abandon worship halfway through Shabbat services for their own safety on the advice of Victoria Police and the Community Security Group of Victoria. Shortly after the arrival of the pro-Palestinian group, around 80 pro-Israel protesters gathered on the opposite side of the road, and they waved Israeli flags and sang Am Yisrael Chai and Hatikva. Two lines of around 30 police stood between the opposing groups. Organised by Free Palestine Melbourne, the gathering was slated as a peaceful protest in response to a fire that destroyed local burger shop Burgatory, owned by Palestinian-Australian Hash Taya. Now, despite Victoria Police publicly stating that they were very confident that the fire was not racially or politically motivated, the Islamic Council of Victoria and various other pro-Palestinian groups fanned the flames of discord by expressing their grave concern the fire was, quote, an intentional act amounting to a hate crime against Taya as a Palestinian and a Muslim. Now, while each side shouted at the other, word soon escalated into violence, with a pro-Palestinian supporter rushing towards the pro-Israel side where a scuffle ensued. Capsicum foam was deployed to disperse those involved while the man was tackled by police. Documenting the protest on site, Australian Jewish News photographer Peter Haskin was in close proximity to the skirmish, with capsicum foam making contact with his eyes. After beginning to feel the effects of the foam, he retreated to the pro-Israel side of the road. He said there were around half a dozen pro-Palestinian supporters who were particularly aggressive. Their anger was palpable and in their eyes. Also attending the protest, Jewish radio host Morris Klein said he was on the receiving end of a projectile with some liquid which burnt his eyes, neck and arms, which later required medical treatment. He said, I saw a large chunk of some sort of paving land very close to me, and a young pro-Israel supporter who chose to remain anonymous was struck by a large rock to the lower leg, causing bleeding and swelling, and he too required medical treatment and was examined at Cabrini Hospital. And on Sunday at Melbourne Central Shul's, their Rabbi Shmuel Karnowski and President Phil Goldman released a joint statement reflecting on the events as shocking and deplorable. They said that level of hate and violence has never happened on our peaceful streets before, and it cannot be allowed to happen ever again. The protest was originally set to take place at the site of the Burgatory shop, and in anticipation, around 20 pro-Israel supporters gathered near the shop and witnessed several vehicles drive past or stop outside, all waving large Palestinian flags. And some car occupants shouted a torrent of abuse at the pro-Israel group. In a menacing move, one driver in a white utility truck aggressively mounted the curb, coming just centimetres away from the pro-Israel supporters. Now, shuffling on to Sydney, a pro-Palestinian motorbike convoy that made its way from Lidcombe in Sydney's west to Coogee in the east was widely condemned. This happened last Saturday afternoon, and about a dozen riders from Al Quds Community Centre, their bikes adorned with Palestinian flags, were led by organiser Zaki Mullah, the first Australian to be charged with terrorism offences after threatening to blow up ASIO and DFAT offices in 2003. Muller was acquitted of planning a terrorist attack but served 2 years in Goulburn prison after pleading guilty to threatening to kill ASIO officers. The motorcade, which also featured Utes, was escorted by police, and by the time it reached Kudji, around 100 Israel supporters singing Am Yisrael Chai had gathered to meet it. The two groups were kept separate, with the convoy eventually continuing on. New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies President David Ossip described the motorcade as psychological warfare that should not be tolerated.
I believe that in all these incidents, there were no physical injuries, right?
No one got physically hurt. There was just some alleged damage to some vehicles. But I should mention, in New South Wales, the New South Wales police have actually, from the very beginning, since the Opera House incident, have set up a dedicated Operation Shelter. And that operation is specifically focusing on protecting the Jewish community and fighting anti-Semitism. So that's what New South Wales police are doing. In Victoria, the Victorian opposition wants to reinstate moving on powers for Victoria Police after these latest incidents in Caulfield. And Caulfield MP David Southwick has said, when Victoria Police don't have the power to crack down on Nazis roaming freely on trains and anti-Semitic thugs coming to Caulfield to harass the Jewish community, the system is clearly broken. So he believes by empowering police to break up what he calls vile displays of hate, the Victorian Liberals and Nationals will be defending Victoria's precious multicultural society and seeking to introduce a bill to reinstate to Victoria the full range of moving on powers that they previously had before they were changed by Labor in 2015.
Any positive news, Shane, this time?
Look, there's some couple of positive things. Again, it's related to the war, but
okay.
In Sydney, there was friends of the Jewish community were among 5,000 people who packed the entertainment quarter at Moore Park last Sunday to stand in solidarity with Israel and call for the release of the hostages. Another pleasing aspect among those 5,000 was some other Israel supporters from outside the community, including the Ukrainian Council of New South Wales, the Hindu Council of Australia, and there were people from leaders from the Catholic, Chinese, Assyrian, Iraqi, Greek, and also some African communities who pinned yellow ribbons on a Maged David on the stage in solidarity with Israel. So that's very nice. And also down in Canberra, or up in Canberra if you're from Melbourne, last Tuesday, there was a powerful the Bring Them Home Now Red Balloon art installation was set up by 150 volunteers who drove down from Sydney, and that was set up on the front lawn of Parliament House in Canberra. Now, at the same time, a core group of 8 Australian Israelis who were kind of the spearhead behind the pro-Israel rallies in Sydney, the last two, they drove down and arranged a set of one-on-one meetings with up to 17 federal MPs and senators. And those included people like Senator Simon Birmingham, the Shadow Foreign Minister, and Jackie Lambie, most of your listeners would know her very well, and others like James Patterson, Susan Lee, Paul Fletcher, Josh Burns, Mike Freelander, and others. So they focused on, of course, the 240 hostages are still being kept by Hamas. And they also spoke about or raised awareness individually with the anti-Semitism problem, the growing problem being experienced throughout Australia.
In some other positive news, Shane, I read that there was a surprise visit by the Premier of New South Wales, Chris Mintz, to a Jewish restaurant.
Yes. The owner of Jaffa Restaurant in Sydney, a Jewish restaurant, Erez Nahum, was left speechless when New South Wales Premier Chris Minns dropped in for dinner on Tuesday night to show his support. Because, of course, last weekend, the popular Israeli restaurant in Surry Hills in Sydney was vandalized and spray-painted with the words child murder and stealing our identity, and disturbing images of injured children and protests were also plastered on the door. So Minns told the Jewish News, no one deserves that form of naked anti-Semitism, and I'm appalled that it's happening in my state and my city. So I thought it would be great to come along and have a great meal in a warm environment, just to show some solidarity with Erez and his family. Another Israeli-owned restaurant, Shuk, has also been targeted with a string of hateful online reviews lately, which owner Yohanan Kalfas said can have a substantial impact on his business.
Nice.
So another a positive story is a federal member for Barara, Julian Lisa, who's pledged last week to wear his kippah all week in Parliament House as a statement against anti-Semitism. That's, he doesn't normally wear a kippah. He only wears a kippah, you know, when he goes to special occasions at shul or ceremonial occasions. But he said, this week I intend to wear my kippah at every parliamentary setting as a reminder that there are places in this country where even doing that is inviting danger and risk. And as Australians, we must stand up for each other's freedom. So good on Julian Lisa.
Nice. Some good news there.
Yeah.
What other positive news can you share with us?
There was an update by UIA on the Victims of Terror Fund, how it's being used. They did a live cross to the Jewish agency's CEO, and she provided a little update. But at that update that they had, they said that in the last 5 weeks, UIA here has raised the same amount as it did in the last 12 months. So it shows you that people are getting really behind. The Australian Jewish population are really getting behind supporting Israel. Like to raise 12 months worth in the last 5 weeks for the Victims of Terror Fund, it is unbelievable. That was the main thing out of that.
Shane, there are so many interesting stories in the Jewish news. Please remind us where to go to read more.
Yeah, listeners, if they want to find out more stories or latest updates on anything, they're more than welcome to go to AustralianJewishNews.com, it's our website, or visit our social media site.
Shane Zyatnik from the Australian Jewish News, thank you so much for your time. Speak to you next week.
My pleasure.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.